is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. I'm your host for tonight, Nick Sesento, and I will be joined shortly by my co-host, new to CLNS Radio, my man, Stanley Watring, who will be here to help me break down tonight's disappointing 93-90 home loss for your Boston Celtics, who fall to 2-2 on the season, still early, but 2-2 on the season, 500, after a miserable outing against the previously 0-3 Orlando Magic, who got their first win of the season against the mighty preseason Eastern Conference favorite, Boston Celtics. And the Magic basically controlled the game from opening tip to final buzzer. We're going to break down all of tonight's action. I'm almost speechless after watching what happened tonight. We're going to break down all of tonight's action. But before we do that, we'd like to remind all of our listeners to call in and sound off on our toll-free CLNS Media call lines at 347-215-7771. Once again, that's 347-215-7771. Please call in. Let us know what you thought about this horrendous showing for the Boston Celtics. And if you'd like to talk when you call in, press 1 on your phone's keypad, dial pad, touchscreen, whatever it is that you're using to call in, and that will let us know that you want to get on and talk and that you're not just listening through your phone because for some reason your internet doesn't work or your streaming isn't working, so you listen through your phone. That's fine. 347-215-7771. Press 1 to get on the air and someone will get to you to screen your call. And we want to remind everybody, before we get into analyzing all of the action with my man Stanley Watring, that this episode is sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron the Man Bun Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. So if you want a slick Gordon Hayward hipster comb over, or the aforementioned Aaron Baines fade man bun undercut, go to Boston Barber and Tattoo on the North End, located at 113 Salem Street. And with that, we're going to get straight into the game. I have a crap ton of notes, but I don't think they're really worth much because at the end of the day, the Boston Celtics lost the game 93-90 to the previously zero-win team, the Orlando. Oh, I'm wrong. They said 0-3 on the thing. 2-2 Orlando Magic. I lied about that. I'm sorry about that, Orlando Magic. It's a shame I live down here in Florida and I don't even know the Orlando Magic's record. That's how terrible they are. This is one of those games. Magic controlled from opening tip to closing buzzer. First quarter ended 28-19. Halftime 48-45, third quarter 75-70, and the Boston Celtics made it look respectable, 93-90 at the end. But the Orlando Magic did have double-digit leads in nearly every quarter. I'm not sure if they had a double-digit lead in the fourth, but they did have a double-digit lead throughout a large portion of this game. And almost until the end of the third quarter, the Boston Celtics only had one player out of all the star power and all the depth the Boston Celtics had, only had one player, and that was Kyrie Irving, in double figures, whereas the Orlando Magic had four in double figures. So that lets you know just how miserable this game was for the Boston Celtics. Right off the bat, statistically, the Boston Celtics shot under 40% for most of the game. By the end of the game, they ended up with just over 40% at 40.7% on 37-for-91 shooting. But the real stat that jumps out at you from this game is the three-point shooting. 9-for-40 from the field, 22.5%. That's not Boston Celtic basketball. It's not winning basketball, obviously, not even against the middling, terrible, bottom-feeding Orlando Magic. Kyrie Irving, 22 points. Gordon Hayward, 11 points. Al Horford, average Al, ended up with 15 at the end of the game. Some of those run free throws towards the end. He had a nice move on Evan Fournier, who did something fantastic with his hair because he was going bald a couple of seasons ago. I guess we used to advertise hymns here on CLNS Media. I would imagine Evan Fournier used the CLNS Media hymns code and got himself a discount on hymns because his hair looks fantastic after losing half of it only a couple of years ago. Evan Fournier's haircut aside, Stanley, what did you think about this game other than as Tommy Heinsohn said, it felt like going to the dentist. It was painful to watch from beginning to end. What did you see?
For me, I thought it was just a boring game all around. Like both teams shot horrendously. Both shot under 41%. Both of them shot under like 30% on their three pointers. Like they both shot under 30%, which is rare for both teams. For the Magic, it's not as rare, but like. Celtics, it was definitely very rare how bad they shot. It's three throw percentages, 70% for the Magic. The Celtics were almost 78%. And the rebounding was, in the Celtics' favor, I found out, was 51-49. Offensive rebounds were definitely in the Celtics' favor, which is as usual, which is pretty surprising. And I think the reason why the Orlando Magic won was definitely they passed the ball a lot better than we did. And they play a little bit better defense than expected. Now, other than that, it was just like a very good defensive game, but offensively it was very boring to watch.
Yeah, and you have a good point about passing the ball. I did notice, especially in the first half, but also in the second half, a lot of good passing, easy baskets at the rim for the Orlando Magic, and they did lead in the assist column, 28 assists to 21, which is mind-boggling to me for a Boston Celtics team that has so many players that can pass the ball. Kyrie Irving's never really been a double-double assist kind of guy, but he averages about five or six. He'll get five or six assists a night. Marcus Smart normally gets at least one assist, even though he tends to balance that out with a few turnovers. Tonight, he didn't even contribute the assist. It was only turnovers. Although he did shoot fairly well from the field, just not from three, as is typical of Marcus Smart. Even Al Horford, who is perfectly capable, as we saw the other night, I think it was against Toronto, where he almost had, he was like maybe one assist shy of a triple-double. As we've seen from Al Horford, he can pass the ball, and he only had four assists tonight. The leading assist man for the Boston Celtics was Kyrie Irving, but who had five, and nobody else had any more than that. And that's really unusual for the Boston Celtics to have all these players that can pass the ball. Even Terry Rozier has been doing better at playmaking. And none of them, even Gordon Hayward, can pass the ball. And none of them really did their part with the ball movement. And that's, like I said earlier, another thing that's not Boston Celtics basketball. Stanley, one thing I noticed for me is it seemed kind of like the Boston Celtics were kind of sleepwalking through this game. It almost feels to me like they, you know, like there was just minimal motivation. They didn't really, you know, get up for this game. Everybody was present. As a matter of fact, it was interesting. This is one of those games where, you know, we laugh as fans every season about Brad Stevens, and it used to be an issue of contention. Brad Stevens tinkering with the lineups, and this is one of those, you know, Brad Stevens games where he went 12 deep playing, you know, all kinds of crazy players. Part of it due to necessity because Aaron Baines was out with the hamstring strain. But going 12 deep, Robert Williams, the 27th pick, the rookie, got his first his first actual NBA game time tonight. Tice filled in minutes for Aaron Baines, who was out. But what surprised me were the early minutes for Gershon Yabusele and Shemi Ojale. That's just irregular, especially in the first half. It just seemed like Brad Stevens was kind of tinkering around and getting, you know, back to the, you know, sleepwalking part and the tinkering part. It almost reminds me a little bit of the way Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots treat the first four games of the regular season. It's kind of like tinkering and figuring out the kinks and not really, you know, worrying too much about, you know, whether or not they win or lose, because they know once they get rolling, it's going to be all right. Do you get the same feeling from this Boston Celtics team that they may be unmotivated, that maybe Brad Stevens' moves looks like he's just trying to figure out situational things, get a little run for some of these role players? Or, and I know this is going to be a silly question, or do you think there's cause for concern with this team after four games in the season at 2-2?
Personally, I don't think there's any concern, obviously, but I feel like he's probably like kind of like Bill Belichick, like probably like the first 4 weeks of the season is like an extra week of eight weeks of preseason. I think that's what they're trying to do with the Celtics. Actually, like these four games, definitely for like at least the first month of the season, they'll probably try to do like it's like preseason. Like they'll try to like preseason see how everything works. But by the time like I think November, December, they'll finally start get rolling. But I don't doubt like Brad Stevens though. He's definitely a great coach. He's definitely the best coach. Him and Greg Popovich are definitely the best coaches by far right now. So I don't think it's definitely I definitely saw some catwalking and sleepwalking definitely. That definitely was a concern. But we shouldn't be concerned now. I don't think so.
Yeah, it just seemed like, especially in the first half, it just seemed like there was minimal motivation. And as I mentioned previously, the only player with double figures for the Boston Celtics late into the third quarter was Kyrie Irving with, I believe, 14. And then Gordon Hayward scored his 11th point, you know, somewhere in the last couple of minutes of the third quarter. So Brad Stevens went deep into the bench early. Obviously, he had to, you know, account for Aaron Baines being out with the hamstring, as I mentioned. But I think that's a fair comparison, that this was one of those Brad Stevens tinkering games. And it's interesting because the starters all got, you know, starter minutes. Al Horford played 32 minutes, Kyrie Irving 34, Jason Tatum 34, Gordon Hayward, you know, on his, you know, 20 to 25 minute, you know, restriction. Marcus Morris, 20 minutes. Marcus Morris seems to be the guy in these games, the bench guy that gets the significant amount of minutes, to lead the bench. What surprised me, though, looking at the number of minutes played, Terry Rozier only got 15 minutes in this game. And Terry Rozier, to me, I've always been big on Terry Rozier. I'm a big fan of Terry Rozier. I think Terry Rozier can do good things. He was off tonight, 2 for 9 from the field, 1 for 5 from three, only 5 points in his 15 minutes. But, I mean, this team was just all over the place. As I mentioned, Kyrie Irving had 22 points. 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Can't complain about, you know, Kyrie Irving. 10 for 19 shooting. Didn't do well from 3 because nobody on the team did well from 3. Kyrie Irving did his thing. Al Horford, I think, could have maybe had a few more assists to help, but, you know, it maybe shot a little bit better for a big man. He shot 5 for 13 and terribly 1 for 7 from 3. But I think Al Horford carried his weight. Gordon Hayward, I'm not mad at. You know, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. I'm on 4 of 8 shooting. He did shoot well from 3 for 5 from deep. So I think, you know, given his restrictions and in easing Gordon Hayward back into the mix, I'm not mad at Gordon Hayward's production. But then I look at the rest of the players, the rest of the – those are 3 guys – the rest of the other 9 players that Brad Stevens played, especially the starters. Jaylen Brown, for the second night in a row in single digits with only 5 points and negative 15 in the box score. And Jason Tatum was only 7 points. Then you look down the bench. I mentioned Gershon Yabusele only played 3 minutes, 0 points. Marcus Morris, the guy that, you know, gets the minutes off the bench, only 7 points. He's been doing fairly well off the bench, you know, recently. Marcus Smart led the bench with 9 points, and Terry Rozier had 5 points, like I mentioned before. Whose performance stood out to you, Stanley, either good or bad? I think we can obviously agree that Kyrie Irving was the best player on the floor for the Celtics tonight. But who stood out to you, good or bad, for the Boston Celtics? Who could have done more or who, you know, didn't do enough maybe?
Personally, the one that stuck out to me the most is definitely Gordon Hayward, especially how he shot compared to everybody else, shot horribly. It wasn't a fun game for everybody else. The thing that impressed me was especially how he shot 50%. He also coming off an injury, shot 3 from 5 from 3. The one that definitely was irritating me, I didn't like at anybody. But tonight was definitely, I would say, Jaylen Brown and also Terry Rozier. So from the starters, Jaylen Brown, obviously, because the single digits, 5 points, 3 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 from 9 from the floor. But, and Terry Rozier, especially how last year in the playoffs, he was the man. He literally scored all the, he was like, filled in very good, very well for, filled in pretty much well for like Kyrie Irving. And this year, he doesn't seem like he hasn't found a groove. That's what really stuck out to me.
I tend to agree with that. And, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, it seems Terry's been kind of a little bit inconsistent. I know it's a very small sample size. It's 4 games. So, I mean, there's not really much to go by. And it seems like this team really hasn't, you know, even begun to try to make any type of, I think the Sixers game, there was effort there because I think there's kind of a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit, I think they're, obviously, there's been a historic rivalry, but I think that rivalry is solid right now between the Sixers and the Boston Celtics. And then they played the Raptors, and, you know, the Raptors basically kicked the Boston Celtics' ass. But, you know, I think that was a feeling-out game, and I really don't – I mean, the Celtics should have been up for that game, but I don't think that, you know, they were going, you know, pedal to the metal, you know, balls to the wall the way that they would if this were – you know, December or, you know, January, or when the games count. Then, of course, there was the Knicks game, which was almost a disaster, and then tonight was a disaster. So, you know, one good win, you know, one understandable loss, one terrible win, and then one inexplicable, horrendous loss tonight for these Boston Celtics, inconsistent. Getting back to Terry Rozier, though, as soon as I saw that headband, I said, oh, no. I said, Terry Rozier, this is not going to be Terry Rozier's night. Terry Rozier was out there. I'm like, is Jason, did we sign Jason Terry again? I mean, this is the wrong Terry that's on the court tonight because he's out there with his headband and his orange and red Pumas. I'm not quite sure how I feel about the NBA lifting the shoe rules. I'm a libertarian by heart, so I like, you know, free expression and all that stuff. And I in principle, I like it. But I like Pumas, and I like, you know, Terry Rozier getting a Puma deal. I'm not sure if I like Terry Rozier's, you know, orange and red shoes and Jason Terry headband. That just to me said Terry Rozier is not going to be Scary Terry tonight. Terry Rozier is going to be Headband Terry tonight. So I agree with you on that. Terry Rozier definitely stood out. I don't know what's gotten into Jaylen Brown because Jaylen Brown showed so much improvement last season. Did so well last season, and he's just not doing very much. Jason Tatum, I mean, when was the last time? I mean, he's fantastic on the boards. Only player on the Boston Celtics with 10 boards. But 3 for 12 from the field and 0 for 5 from 3. That's just unacceptable. But Jason Tatum is such a fantastic player, and he did have that one incredible, fadeaway or something at the buzzer, that just an insane shot. He has just an insane arsenal of shots. I give Jason Tatum a pass, even though the game was terrible. I'm not going to pull any punches on that. But I give Jason Tatum a pass just because he is such an outstanding player. But Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, I mean, Marcus Morris, these are guys that have to step up and do their job, as the New England Patriots say, the other, you know, fantastic team, the other championship caliber team. One of the other championship caliber teams in the Boston area, because the Red Sox are going to the World Series tomorrow, but that's a subject for a different show. Before we break it down, we're going to talk a little bit about the Orlando Magic next. Before we break it down further, we'd like to remind everybody that this is a live call-in show for the Boston Celtics post-game, CLNS Media post-game show, and the number to call in if you'd like to sound off on what you just saw tonight. I don't know how else to describe it without using vulgarities. The number to call is 347-215-7771. And if you've called that number already, because I see the switchboards lighting up, please press 1 on your rotary phone. Well, I guess you can't press it on your rotary phone, but dial 1 on your rotary phone, press 1 on your touch tone, or 1 on your iPhone XS, LX, whatever, iPhone XS touchscreen, or if you're an Android guy, press 1 so we know that you want to get on the air, because we're a two-man crew, and while we're talking, it's difficult for us to screen all the calls. So 347-215-7771, if you want to get on the air and sound off about tonight's 93-90 loss to the lowly Orlando Magic, please dial 347-215-7771 and press 1 on whatever type of device you are using to call to let us know that you want to actually be heard on the air and you're not just listening on your phone. And with that, I would like to get to the Orlando Magic, who had several outstanding players, but there was one player in particular that I was exceptionally excited to see, because he's one of those guys. Since we mentioned Robert Williams, the rookie that got his first official NBA playing time tonight and didn't really do anything with it, but that's all right. He played, I think, 4 minutes. A guy that was rumored to be a trade target, or rumored to be a target for the Boston Celtics to move up in last year's draft to pick Mo Bamba. I was very excited to see what Mo Bamba could do. Mo Bamba, I was hoping that when he came out onto the court, even, I guess it was Boston, so they weren't going to do it, but when he came out onto the court, they would play his own official track. Anybody that comes into the league as a rookie and has their own track already out, and it's been out for like a year already, deserves a little bit of shine. Mo Bamba. So Mo Bamba was not balling tonight. Mo Bamba looked like garbage to me. 0 points, 5 boards, 2 blocks in 19 minutes. I believe his season averages are 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 1 assist. My man Stanley, what did you think about Mo Bamba starting out the Orlando Magic talk? Were you impressed by Mo Bamba tonight?
Honestly, though, he was okay. I wasn't like that impressed at the moment. Like coming up here, I wasn't that impressed. Like when I watched him other games, he looked very good. Honestly, other games, but today he didn't look that great. It wasn't his night. That's why. But definitely, like, he's great defensively. That's one good thing about it. So he could be like a Dennis Rodman, watching like Dennis Rodman instead of watching like a Mo Bamba, if anything, like defensively wise, like a Rasheed Wallace.
or like a Manute Bol. He seemed kind of, you know, stiff and long, kind of like a Manute Bol. I forgot who it was that said in the preseason about Tom Brady that when he runs, it looks like he's a baby giraffe or something like that. And that's kind of what Mo Bamba reminds me of. I saw him reaching down for a loose ball or something. He's being chased by Daniel Tyson reaching down for a loose ball. And his legs are just so long. His limbs are just so long. It's just crazy watching him out there. And he really seems kind of he just seems a little bit stiff to me. And I know I've seen his, you know, workout tapes. I've seen his stuff, you know, his highlights at Texas and other highlights that, you know, that are out there, things on Instagram and stuff like that. And I know that he has game, that he can play, that he's not trash overall speaking. But tonight he just, you know, really didn't, you know, do much for me, and I didn't, you know, see much out of him. And the one thing to end the Mo Bamba talk, unless you have anything else you'd like to mention about Mo Bamba, is that I saw early Brad Stevens put in the few minutes that Gershon Yabusele was on the court, Yabusele guarded Mo Bamba. And now Gershon Yabusele is maybe about 6'9" with shoes on, but he got to weigh close to 300 pounds, or what, 280 pounds for Yabu. And Mo Bamba was there, you know, just outside the paint, I think, trying to back him down or trying to block him out or something. They had some physical interaction where it was a clear, you know, match of big man versus big man strength. And it just was no match at all. I mean, the weight from Gershon Yabusele pushing Mo Bamba out of the way was just comical to me. But then later on in the night, I saw Daniel Tice, who also gives up, you know, several inches on, I believe gives up several inches on Mo Bamba, clearly gives up a lot of reach on Mo Bamba, as long-armed as Daniel Tice is. Daniel Tice even moved Mo Bamba out of the way. So, you know, Mo Bamba's going to have to get a little bit more, either, you know, add on that weight and, you know, maybe a little bit more strength to put, because he shouldn't be getting, I mean, Yabu is one thing. I mean, not many people can move Yabu. That's like an immovable object. But, you know, if Daniel Tice is, you know, squeezing you out for rebounds, you know, that or squeezing you out for loose balls or whatever it is, that's not a good thing for Mo Bamba. We have a caller who has pressed one, and he's been waiting for a few minutes on the call lines. Not sure who he is, but we'd like to get to the caller. Both Stanley and I will get his opinion on the game. Area code 508. I'm guessing this is El Dude, but I'm not sure. Area code 508. You're on the air live.
Yo, Nick. It's Sully from the South.
What's going
Coast.
On, buddy?
Not much. Just checking out this game tonight.
Is this El Dude?
Looks like they're all out. What's that?
Is this? Oh, this is the South Coast. What's up, man? My dude from the South Coast.
Yeah.
There's another 508 caller that called the last show, and his name was El Dude, so I'm getting the 508s confused. I used to be able to recognize the phone numbers, but it's been a long off season, so I guess I'm off my game a little bit. So what did you think about this game? Anything you want to comment? Do you want me to replay the Mo Bamba song for you?
No, that's actually a really good DJ by you, Nick. It brought me back to McDonald's drive-thrus back in the 1980s. With the sound. With that sound.
I'll take it. The ice cream machine was probably still broken back then.
Yeah, right. This game, they look all out of sync. Like, they're not in rhythm. And I don't know if it's just because their shots aren't going, but it looks like five individual guys playing a game instead of a team. I don't know. I hope it's just early in the season and they haven't put it all together, but that's what I'm seeing.
I would agree. Five individual guys playing a game and not playing it very well, especially with their shooting. It wasn't, you know, it was not a video that you did. The coaches would want to show, you know, young players at a shooting clinic. That was just, you know, it was disappointing. Since we were getting into the Orlando Magic, what did you think about? And the Magic had some pretty solid. You know, I was impressed by John Isaac. I thought he had a pretty impressive game. 18 points, 12 rebounds, in 26 minutes on 8 for 12 shooting and 2 for 4 from 3. I mean, that's efficient, and it's, you know, padding the stats. No assists, 1 steal, no blocks. But 18 points and 12 rebounds, a double-double, is pretty impressive for a young kid like John Isaac. Nikola Vucevic, who occasionally, you know, gives us problems, efficient also, double-double, 24 points, 12 rebounds on 11 for 18 shooting. Those seem to be, I mean, all of their starters were in double figures. I'm looking at the box. We had 3 starters in double figures, and one of them was Gordon Hayward with 11. If you know, there's technically double figures, but it's not, you know, the most fantastic. Although DJ Augustine had 10 points. But who on the Magic impressed you tonight, or who on the Magic do you think was the key to defeating the Celtics? I mean, we know the Celtics basically beat themselves by not playing in sync, not playing a team game, not playing their individual games well. But who on the Orlando Magic do you think did the most damage to the Boston Celtics?
I'd say the rim.
But the Boston rims, it was a TD Garden, though.
Yeah, it was missed. After miss, after miss. I'm just watching the fourth quarter again on DVR, and that's all I'm seeing is miss.
Why would you do that?
Miss.
You must be a masochist, man. Self-torture.
Well, I'm kind of in and out a little bit, but it's like that's. I was like, is this what I'm seeing the whole game? Miss after miss. Like Jason Tatum, 2 open threes in a row. I thought he had the first one. He takes the second one. I'm like, yeah, he's got this. Nope, another brick. It's just like the shots. The shots would have lost the game. They would have kicked their ass if they hit, like, half those open shots. So, you know, you got that going for them, too. I think it's, like, both things. They're not in sync, they're not in rhythm, and their shots definitely aren't falling. Like, lucky the Leprechaun was, like, MIA tonight.
Yep. No Shamrocks on the basket for the Boston Celtics tonight. Stanley, who impressed you from the Orlando Magic other than Mo Bamba? Before I play the Mo Bamba track again, who impressed you the most?
Well, honestly, definitely the center, like the starting center. That's definitely the rebounding, the point.
Vucevic, Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah, definitely him. Definitely, I feel like he definitely rebounded the ball very well. He just looked good all around. He also shot a high percentage, which is rare for everybody on the court today. Like from Orlando to Boston, no one shot very well. So definitely, definitely him. On that, no one else impressed me on that team.
I guess that's. How excited can we be to talk about the Orlando Magic, especially after the Boston Celtics just lost to them? South Coast, is it just me, or have you noticed Evan Fournier had an excellent hair restoration procedure? I mean, it rivals LeBron James in terms of, you know, hair today, gone tomorrow, or I guess gone yesterday, hair today. I don't know, but it definitely changed. He was one of the original NBA man buns, and I guess that's the fallback of the man bun. As somebody who rocked a man bun way back in the day, I'm talking about back when I was in college, back in 2007 or 2008, whatever it was, I had a man bun, and my hairline did pay for it. And Evan Fournier, I guess his hairline paid for it as well, because he definitely looks different than the last time I paid any attention, which is pretty much never to Evan Fournier. But, you know, it couldn't be, nothing could be as bad as LeBron James' hair procedure. I mean, LeBron James, anytime a light shines on LeBron James' head, it's like, you know, what's happening, bro? Just shave it off, you know. just as a tip to, you know, guys out there, do not cling to, unless you, Manu Ginobili, I don't understand, the same thing Manu Ginobili. Why didn't he just, you know, shave the whole thing? You have this, like, helicopter landing pad. If you have the money, get it fixed, like Evan Fournier, unless it's going to be a bad fix like LeBron James. Anyways, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know why I'm talking about this. That's just how bad this game was.
Nick,
South Coast.
Are you losing your hair? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Nick, that you're losing your hair?
Oh, no, I just shaved it off completely. I mean, I just once I started noticing it thinning out, I just got rid of it. Yeah.
All right. So you want everybody to join the club.
Yeah, you know what? I missed hymns. I didn't get the hymns CLNS discount code fast enough, and it just kind of, you know, no, you know, I was, who cares? It's just here. At one point in my life, you know, I cared about it. I mean, I'm in my 30s. It's not, you know, the most whatever. See, I have a full beard. I have a nice beard. It's nicely groomed and, you know, manicured and stuff like that, and I rock it well, you know what I mean? If you don't have it on top, you got to have it on the bottom, because if you don't, it looks strange, you know what I mean? South Coast, anything else you'd like to contribute to the show before we veer completely off track talking about my disappeared hairline?
No, I don't know. This game's like, it's kind of been disappointing. They haven't really turned it up. Oh, but I'll tell you what, though. I loved watching Rajon Rondo punch Chris Paul right in the face. That was awesome. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, you brought it up.
Rondo!
You brought it up.
I thought that was awesome. I never thought about Rondo.
I heard he also spit on him, too. I'm not a big fan of spitting on people, but listen, this is Rajon Rondo, the guy that left claw marks on Chris Humphries, you know what I'm saying, in that little brawl that they had. I love Rajon Rondo. I'm always going to love Rajon Rondo. He can spit on people. He can R. Kelly on people. I mean, that would have been even more fun if he hit R. Kelly, Chris Paul.
That
I mean,
was no way
you know,
he,
you know, he got
he
in a fight, you know,
out.
And it happened. But, you know, that's my man, Rondo. I don't like – I will cheer for him except – well, actually, I'll never cheer for him because he plays for the Lakers. But, I love the guy. He won us – he helped win us a championship or helped win the Boston Celtics a championship. Gotta
yeah,
love
he
Rondo.
Did. Yep.
Stanley,
all right, that's all I got
to
say.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I totally forgot your first name, so I'm just calling you South Coast. Thank you for the call, South Coast. The next time you call, I will screen and I will get your first name again. My memory is just fading because it's been a long time since I've done the show. But South Coast, we appreciate your call. You always bring the good material. I was going to bring it up at the end of the show because it's not directly Celtics related, but since this show went completely off the tracks talking about hairlines and everything else, and that's probably my fault, in Mo Bamba's theme song, Stanley, what did you think about the Rajon Rondo, Chris Paul, Brandon Ingram, whoever else was involved in that situation.
Well, honestly though, it was definitely entertaining, and I definitely, at least you can say that, like Brandon Ingram, he was standing up for his teammate. I didn't see LeBron or Alonzo even try to go help their teammate from like both of them were throwing punches anyway. So I didn't see Alonzo or LeBron, which both of them disappointed me dearly for not going to help out their team. But also, I did save him a couple games from being suspended. So I definitely love Rondo. He's definitely a tough guy. And I heard Rondo's girlfriend and Chris Paul's wife even fought during that fight too. So
only in L.A. This is classic L.A. stuff, and I don't know. Like I said, for the Boston Celtics, and this applies to the Los Angeles Lakers too. It's too early, you know, to pass any judgments about anything, but I love watching a Laker dumpster fire, and that's exactly what we're getting to see right now. And it's not because I dislike Rondo, but I can't stand the Lakers because I'm a Celtics fan. I can't stand LeBron James because I'm a Celtics fan. And, you know, there's just not really much on the Lakers. The way they put that team together, it just was bound for failure, and I think it's obvious. Well, before I say it's the obvious statement, it's going to be difficult for the Lakers. They're going to be clawing for the eighth seed or one of the last seeds. They're going to be clawing to make the playoffs out there in the Western Conference. But it's obvious that by the way this team was assembled, it's not even meant to contend. I know that they expect another team, you know, another player to join LeBron James in L.A. and then make whatever they think a super team or a big two or big whatever is going to be. But it's just obvious to me that this is a move by LeBron James. This is a post-NBA career. I'm going to continue my celebrity off the court later, you know, going to Los Angeles type of move, and it doesn't interest me. It'll make me happy that LeBron James, if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, It ends. I mean, to me, the debate is already over about whoever about the greatest of all time. It's obviously Bill Russell. But you know, if LeBron James doesn't make the playoffs this year, you can end the talk about comparing him to the second greatest of all time, Larry Bird. No, I mean, I'm kidding. Michael Jordan. The Michael Jordan debate will be over because if at this stage in his career he misses the playoffs, it just, you know, the whole, you know, eight or nine, whatever, you know, straight finals runs, all that talk and all whatever, that's over because if he can't bring, you know, this team that he chose with the players that he chose to bring, and if he can't get them to the playoffs, I think you gotta, you know, you gotta X out LeBron James. Let's end that discussion. We still have callers on the line, and we have callers that pressed one like I asked them to. They called 347-215-7771 on your Boston Barber and Tattoo call lines, toll-free call lines. Let's get to a caller. Another caller from Boston, 617 area code. 617, what's your name? You're live on the air.
Hey, hello.
What's up, 617? Who is this?
Hey, this is Chuba. Calling from Boston, Dorchester. How are you guys?
Oh, Dorchester.
Right.
You're from Dorchester. Isn't that where Marky Mark is from, or is that? what'd you say
yeah.
your name? What'd you say?
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm on the phone with my girlfriend. She's Jason Tatum is our favorite player. I like him because of his moves. She likes him because he looks cute. So,
well, isn't that what I mean? Well, I shouldn't say that. That would be a sexist statement because there are legitimate female fans. You know, that's often what you know what girlfriends and wives and significant others, they watch the games with us and a lot of the times they're just looking at, you know, cute players. I remember my old lady used to like Allen Iverson when, you know, Allen Iverson played. And I don't blame her. Allen Iverson was a good-looking dude, and he had the whole, you know, cornrows. You know, as a guy who now no longer has hair, I can look back at Allen Iverson and say, yes, in 2018, I would rock cornrows if I had the opportunity because that's how much I miss my hair. But, yeah, you know, it happens. And Jason Tatum is a, you know, he's a smooth dude. He's a finesse player, but he has, you know, a little bit of power. And I think he could be – and maybe this is a hot take, maybe this is a stretch, you tell me, Stanley, could Jason Tatum possibly be, you know, sooner rather than later, the Celtics' best player? Or is Kyrie Irving automatically going to be it, assuming he stays?
We were watching the highlights last night. He looked good.
Sorry, go ahead, guys.
Yeah, Stanley, go ahead, and then we'll go back. I'm sorry, was it Tuba or Chuba? I didn't.
Tuba.
My hearing is Tuba, like the horn?
No, like Chewbacca.
Oh, Chuba. Okay, that's what I wasn't sure. Okay, Chuba. Perfect. Go ahead, Chuba. Since I'm talking to you already, go ahead.
So I didn't mean to interrupt. That was my girlfriend. So what I wanted to call in about was the fact that this team, like, we're bringing back the same people. So I don't understand why this team looks like it has no chemistry. We're bringing back the same people, the same dudes who played so well together, who won 16 games in a row to start the season. And the only thing that's changed is Gordon Hayward is back. So why does this team look so different now? Why is the offense look so different?
Stanley, you got any ideas?
I feel like everybody's just shooting, like taking shots they're usually shooting shots they made last year, and sometimes they probably won't have made yet this year. They're probably still getting loose. So it's probably that's definitely, and I feel like they're probably more selfish than they used to be. Definitely kidding, but after working with Kobe, everybody knows Kobe was pretty selfish. Great player, but could be pretty selfish. So that can be a contributing factor too.
You think it's a matter of selfishness? I mean, this is a team that was the antithesis of selfishness last year. I mean, the way they came together, especially after the devastating Gordon Hayward injury, and then later losing Kyrie Irving, and still coming together. I mean, they had to have a cohesive locker room to be able to win the Milwaukee series, then basically destroy the Philadelphia 76ers in a gentleman's sweep, and then take the Cleveland LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers to seven games in the finals. They had to have a cohesive locker room and an unselfish play style and unselfish locker room last season. And as Chuba mentioned, they've brought back all the same people. So have we seen enough of them this season to really say that there's some egos involved or something? Like, is it just a matter of four games in, they're just not in sync yet? Maybe they're just like I mentioned earlier, Brad Stevens is playing 12 guys, a 12-man rotation, tinkering with things, giving a few guys a couple of minutes, changing minutes from game to game. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think that Terry Rozier, not that he deserved more minutes, but I think that the Terry Rozier's 15 minutes was the fewest that he's played this season. What do you think, Chuba? This is not to gang up on Stanley or anything, it's just to kick around the ideas. Do you think there might be some selfishness in this? Do you think maybe a player like Terry Rozier coming up on a contract year is, maybe trying to, do a little bit too much out there, putting on headbands to, maybe get a couple of extra million from, headband fans?
No, I think a lot of these guys feel like they can be starters in the league. A lot of them feel probably they should. A lot of them probably feel like they proved themselves. Like when, all those games that Kyrie Irving missed and during the postseason, like these guys proved themselves and nearly got to the finals. They were one game away from the finals, and now that Kyrie and Gordon are back, they probably feel like, haven't I proved enough? Shouldn't I be closing out games? Why am I on the bench? Like, I'm not saying that they feel that way. On the unconscious level, I'm thinking it might actually be affecting, the chemistry on the team. I don't know. It's too early to say. But, a lot of these guys, they probably feel like, I proved myself in the postseason when Kyrie wasn't here, when Gordon wasn't here. They probably feel like they should be able to get significant minutes and close these games.
Well, we do know that Terry Rozier did not sign a contract extension by the deadline with the Boston Celtics. He is coming up on restricted free agency after this season, and the reports coming out of the Boston media were that he wants to be a starter somewhere, and he's looking at he's expecting to get somewhere around $20 million per year, which if you have, exactly. But then you look at, a guy like Marcus Smart who gets $13 million, and it's like, it's not that out of the question. Because if you get a Terry Rose, if you get a scary Terry from the playoffs last year, but then give him another year of improvement, you know what I mean? Because he's improved every single season he's been in the league. He's improved on aspects of his game. He's one of the fastest players on the game. He's one of the twitchiest players on the game. I mean, he can change directions at the drop of a dime. He has fantastic handles. He's an excellent rebounding guard. That's a tradition that comes from Louisville. Louisville has a lot of, they like to have their guards rebound the old Pitino teams. Terry Rozier, $20 million seems a little bit high, but I don't think, if you put Terry Rozier on the free agency market, and he's not going to come back to the Celtics for the qualifying offer. Somebody's going to beat the qualifying offer, but I can see him getting at least $15 million, if not, maybe 17 or 18, from somebody that wants a starting point guard.
What's keeping Ainge from trading him in that case if he's not going to likely be on the team next season? I mean, are we going all in for this 1 year and, all hands on deck? Is that what Ainge is trying to do?
That would be the indication. Stanley, what do you think? Do you think that this is about going all in, the all hands on deck, series, you have the stacked roster, assuming that there's not going to be any ego problems or conflicting egos, that they can really live up to the talk of suppressing, their own individual, goals and make sure those individual goals don't deviate from the best interest of the team. Do you think that Terry Rozier, I mean, I don't even know where I'm going. Do you think that Terry Rozier in players like this, what do you think Danny Ainge is doing with this? Is he trying to go all in, or do you think that he's considering trading Terry Rozier? Or maybe Terry Rozier isn't the best trade asset because he's coming up on a, you know, his contract expires. He'd be a rental for a team like, say, for example, the Phoenix Suns. That's what I was trying to get at. For a team like the Phoenix
right.
Suns, for example, which doesn't have a starting point guard, trading for Terry Rozier, you're going to get him for a season, and then you got to match somebody who's going to be willing to pay him probably more than, you know, a team might want to pay him. What do you think, Stanley?
Well, honestly, like, if we trade him, if we traded him last, like, after the postseason, we could have got probably a first-round pick for him for another draft. But, like, you never know what Danny Ainge can do. I never expected us to get Kyrie Irving, but I think we could probably trade him, get, like a late first-rounder, maybe a second-rounder, or a couple, another player of his caliber. But I think we probably should ride it out. So he could trade him for, like, a first-round, second-round pick, I believe.
What does a first round pick do for this team that is hoping
exactly.
to win that is expecting to compete for a championship this season? First round pick is for the future, and I think the Celtics are. I mean, you can never have enough first round picks, but they have the Sacramento pick for next season. I mean, you know,
right.
do they need players that are going to contribute now, or do they need more first round picks? Chuba, do you have anything else for us before we? Cut to a commercial real quick and then close up the show?
Oh, only two words. Go Red Sox. Well, wait, that was three words. Go Red Sox.
We put the Red Sox, we just put them together. Go Red Sox. Dirty water. do damage. Tomorrow night against the L.A. Dodgers, the World Series. We're just going to pump that real quick because we are Boston fans here. I think all of us are from Massachusetts. I currently live in Florida, but I'm from New Bedford, so all Massachusetts fans here. Not sure if Stanley, you a Red Sox fan?
I'm a big Red Sox fan.
Awesome. All right. Fantastic. Chuba, thank you so much for the call. Tell your girlfriend that she's not wrong about Jason Tatum. He is, in fact, a stud in more ways than one. We love Jason Tatum here in Celtics Nation. And with that, we're going to run a little commercial, pay our sponsors, because they help us stay on the air. Without them, you would not have a CLNS Media post-game show like the one that you have tonight, as fantastic as it's been. So we'll pay a couple of bills, and then we'll be right back to get the closing thoughts from both me, your host, Nick Sesento, and my co-host, Stanley Watring. Make sure I pronounced that right.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
That advertisement sure sound familiar. Stanley, who do you think did that better? Who do you think did that Boston Barber and Tattoo Company read better, me or the guy that read that? I'm sorry, I don't know who it is, but I know it's somebody that works for CLNS. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked your advertisement, honestly. But the guy that did your advertisement that did that commercial, he's good too. But I liked your advertisement better. I do need a free haircut though, so I might as well go over there too.
Yeah, for sure. Go over and let them know. Listen, this is your, I was going to say pop the cherry. Well, I already just said pop the cherry. We've popped your CLNS cherry. And sorry to all the listeners out there that have fragile ears. This is your first show with the CLNS Media. So you can officially say that you work for the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show, which advertises for the Boston Barber and Tattoo. I wish they could give free tattoos, because next time I'm up visiting family up north, I would go and, you know, go to 113 Salem Street and get a tattoo. And I don't know what I'd do with my hair. Maybe just have them, you know, straight razor it, because there's not much I can do with it at this point. But I'd love to get a discount on a tattoo if they do good work. Have to check out the portfolios first. Don't get bad tattoos. I'm a big tattoo guy. Don't get bad tattoos, because if you, you know, get them folding chairs in the kitchen tattoos, those are no good. They start to, you know, bleed out or fade out and stuff like that. So let's enough with the life tips, and let's close up the with the last 2.5 minutes of this show. Let's close up the discussion, the analysis of this game. Once again, the Boston Celtics fall to 2-2 on the season, losing at home TD Garden 93-90 to the Orlando Magic, who had fantastic games from Nikola Vucevic, from Jonathan Isaac, even a good game from Aaron Gordon, good game and solid hair transplants from Evan Fournier, fantastic no-show from Mo Bamba, but that's okay because he has his own theme song. The Boston Celtics, 22 points from Kyrie Irving. He's the man in Boston right now until Jason Tatum, who everybody's girlfriend loves, comes into his own and becomes the best player on the Boston basketball courts. Terrible shooting from both teams, terrible shooting all around, but nothing to worry about. Four games into the season, the Boston Celtics are doing a Bill Belichick and just using the first few games of the season to ease players in, to tinker with the roster, to, you know, figure out the kinks. You know, get Gordon Hayward back up to speed. Get Kyrie Irving's knee back up to speed. You know, Aaron Baines didn't play. You have Aaron Baines in the game. That could have been the 3-point difference, because Aaron Baines is just solid as a rock. Stanley, anything else you'd like to add before we close out this show?
It was a great defensive game, but offensively, it was definitely someone you can, like, I can fall asleep to, but. But other than that, like, bad game.
And I'm glad you brought up the defensive aspect of the game, because NBA TV, before the game started, they flashed the stat that there are only two teams in the NBA that allow fewer than 100 opponent points per game in terms of scoring defense. One is the Denver Nuggets. I didn't pay attention to how many points they allow. But number two was the Boston Celtics, who allow only 97.9 points per game from their opponents. And they did that tonight by only allowing 93 from the Orlando Magic. They just didn't score enough. They didn't play well enough as a team to get the win. Anything else before I close this out officially, Stanley?
Well, I don't think so, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Well, we hope the Boston Celtics win next time, and that next time will be Thursday, the 25th, this Thursday, at Oklahoma City. And your hosts will be Taylor McLeod and Sam Sheehan, two of my favorite hosts. Make sure you tune in to the Boston Celtics CLNS Media post-game show this Thursday, the 25th, after the Celtics take on Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And with that, we'd like to say good night as soon as I can find the smooth outro music. That's what I labeled it here. Thank you all for listening. Stanley, it was a pleasure to work with you. Fantastic job your first time out. Welcome to the CLNS family. I will send good reviews to Taylor McLeod, Andrew Rubino, and the rest of the CLNS staff, whoever makes the employee decisions, the decisions on personnel. Maybe they'll fire me after this game once they find out that I have no hair, but who knows. Stanley, it was a pleasure working with you. Once again, Boston Celtics lose 93-90. Join us again Thursday, 25th, at Oklahoma City. We'll be back again. CLNS Media, Boston Celtics postgame show, brought to you by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Have a good evening, everyone.